Recording.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's all praise.
How are you?
Good, how are y'all?
Good, thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us get together this morning in your name and bless us in the Sunday school once again and the services today. Just on our lips to speak and everyone's ears to hear. Lord, give us understanding of the word as it comes forth. And please bless Brother Wade ministering and in Alabama and all the other ones ministering in various places today and all those who are out for various reasons. Just be with each one, I pray, and help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you and just to be what you want us to be, Father. I pray. We love you and thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to throw in one slide from last time. This is the last time I'm going to try to talk about sheep for a little while. So you notice there's a black sheep in there. Y'all remember me referring to Bob last week as Bob, Bob, Black Sheep. Now, it wasn't derogatory. I got to thinking about it. I was actually paying him a compliment, but the reason I did that, I was thinking about, you know, the fact that all of us as humans are sheep nature. I tried to get that point across to y'all. We all have a sheep nature. And God intended for that. It wasn't an accident, you know, so that we would seek Him as a shepherd. Well, when you become a Christian, to me, you're like a black sheep because you're so odd. And y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're on shoulders with the world, and your workplace and school and anywhere in public, you're always a black sheep. You really stand out. So that's the point I was making on that. But it's interesting, if you look at that little nursery rhyme, it says, Bob, Bob, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, three bags full. Uh-huh. So I thought, well, there's justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all the other threes, if you think about it, Christianity.
Now, did you find that picture, or did you put that little black sheep in there?
No, that was on the internet.
Uh-huh.
You can find anything on Google.
Exactly. Dr. Google knows everything.
Good. That's good.
That's it. That's all about sheep for now. All right.
Maybe later.
We're going to go back into our lesson about humility for a little while. And I'm going to review the first few slides, put in some new slides, and then we'll start where I left off last time. So the objective is to understand what it means to humble ourselves before the Lord. A couple of definitions. Humble means having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. And then the verb, like action, is to destroy the independence, power, or will of, and especially I want to emphasize the will. We humble ourselves by denying our own pleasure and our own will and seeking the will of the Lord. Okay, that's humility. 2 Chronicles 7, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Psalm 69:32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I'm going to speed through these first 20 or 30 slides really quick because I have a lot of slides. And this is my last lesson, I think. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And in the Strong's definition, this the yellow parts, base, cast down, humble, of low degree, estate, and lowly. As a condition, lowly, of low degree, brought low with grief, depressed, lowly in spirit, humble. There are many misconceptions about what it means to be humble. Humble is often thought to mean simple or shallow. This common thought may lead to slothfulness or laziness towards God. As was once stated by Brother Dale, there is a difference between simplicity and stupidity. We talked about that last time. The details. On the contrary, to humble ourselves before God can mean many things, but perhaps the best summation of these is to submit our whole life and our will to Jesus Christ. Now, I added this slide in the other day. So, this is just me as a student. I'm not anything special. I'm just trying to basically place emphasis on one part of humility. So the best way I know to describe this is to break it up into three parts, three types or three forms of humility. The natural humility, and that's like the stature of perfect man. But we're going to talk about there's a natural knowledge, or rather, I guess you say temperance. Some people are naturally can control their temper and so forth better than others, and some people naturally have patience and things like that. Well, there's a natural humility too. You know some people in your life that aren't even Christians that are really humble. Everybody knows somebody that's really humble. But that doesn't do away with the part of us still needing the humility of Jesus Christ. We still need the character development, the humility of God. Humility, there's also humility developed during your Christian journey. That's important, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about today either. And you just develop that as you go. As you take on these virtues and the stature of perfect man, you begin to develop humility also. But what I'm talking about is the attitude choice called humility. Choosing to be humble. And you do that several times a day, every day. Anytime when you come up in a situation where you have a little bit of free time and you can do something leisurely, like read a novel or read your Bible, you know, which do you give your time to? You know, you can please the flesh, more entertain, or you can more, you know, set your affections on things above. Right? That's what I'm talking about. It's the attitude choice of humility. And there's other ways to do that several times a day, but you know, it's a daily thing. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This includes prayer, meditation, servitude, fasting, studying, listening, and many other acts of love and obedience. Now, these are ways we choose humility. As I was saying a minute ago, deny pleasures and self-will. So, things that appeal to the flesh, temporal things, that seem important now, but don't hold an eternal weight of glory. And then, admit faults in beliefs and deeds. So, like Brother Dello was saying, it's hard for one man, I think he quoted Brother Branham, and saying it's hard for one man to believe another. You know, it's hard to get one man to believe another man. Because we all have this pride and this sense of self-righteousness and that we're right and what we've always believed is right. And it's hard to humble that down and say, well, now, wait a second, this person has something here from the Lord. So admit that you're wrong in your belief and admit that you're wrong in your deeds when you do something wrong to someone. Those are both ways we choose humility. It's an intentional thing, part of our free moral agency, a choice. All right? And then prefer others before ourselves. That goes without explanation. And then waiting on God for revelation and other blessings. This might get touchy, and I'm not really throwing off on anybody. Like, but there's been people that we've all seen that have come here and sat for just a short little while, and then before you know, they throw up their hands and say, you can't understand anything Brother Dale says, and they walk out the door in disgust. And some people quietly walk away, and that's what I like to say. If you don't understand, well, don't take everybody else down with you. But, you know, people are a little more humble when they walk away, hold their head down, and just say, I just don't understand, and leave. But to me, the humblest thing you can do is to just sit and listen, and if you don't understand, just pray and ask God to give you revelation, and give Him some time. Not just give Brother Dale time, I mean give God time to help you, and He'll do that. But it's got pride. To me, it's got pride written all over it. When somebody throws up their hands and say, bless God, you can't understand anything that this five-fold ministry says, and they walk away, and they tell other people, you can't understand Brother Dale, don't listen to Brother Dale. Someone told Gabby that you can't understand Brother Dale, he's off the word. And so she had that prejudice or disposition from the very start when she started coming here, that she was told by someone she highly esteems that Brother Dale was wrong. So she had a lot going against her. Wasn't just that, it was a lot of little things going against her. But yet she chose humility. She chose to be humble and sit and listen for a little while. And by and by, she understood. She began to understand things. When she had been told that he wasn't even right. You know, so it goes down to we're not any better than the people who have left here. We don't have any less pride than they have. We've just chose to suppress the pride in ourselves and choose humility and say, now I'm going to listen for a little while and see if this man, because you know Brother Dale really believes what he preaches. You know these five ministers believe what they preach. And so it's just a matter of saying, God, if he's right, then you can reveal to me what you revealed to him. So that takes humility. You just humble yourself down It's a choice. Many people may feel that to be humble means that we should not study because we are trying to figure things out on our own like Eve did, instead of waiting on God. This is a misconception about humility. Reading, studying, and listening to sermons is not the way of trying to figure things out on your own. Studying the Word of God is actually necessary for us to do in order for God to reveal His Word to us. It's part of our reasonable service. And you know the scripture about reasonable service. I read that to y'all last time. Why, little Bethlehem, poor people. This is where I left off, I believe, last time. So, Brother Branham says, poor people, Joseph and Mary, both real poor, and here there was in this little stable, how humble God makes himself. And then when we try to make ourselves something great, can't you see how God humbles himself and takes the things that's not, that he might bring to pass his great promises? How that little Jehovah lay in a manger wrapped in the cloth taken off the back of a yoke, the neck of a yoke where the ox had been, and wrapped the Prince of Peace in it. My, who are we then? What do we deserve? And this is a continuation of that. If God can humble himself like that, oughtn't we to be able to humble ourselves to become his servant? If he did things like that, can't we forget our great dignities and things of this world and pass from that and humble ourselves before him this Christmas and show him our appreciation of that birth and that humanity by humbling our own selves and receiving his word, no matter what the tradition said, is his word that counts. That's what he'll take, his word and that only. In the message, look, he says, the way up is down. He that humbles himself should be exalted, and he that exalts himself should be abased. We must humble ourselves, not try to know too much. Just know one thing. Focus everything else out of the way and look unto Christ. If you don't know how to write your name, that don't have one thing to do with it. Just focus your heart to Christ and his will and watch what happens. This is me. How could God be just or fair if he made a Bible that could only be understood by smart people? On the contrary, it can only be understood by babes. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wild brute and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so far, so it seemed good in thy sight. Luke 10:21. We desire the understanding and revelation of the seal, 7 weeks of Daniel, and other mysteries contained in the Word. I made this point last time, just reiterating. But do we study those things? How can we expect God to reveal those mysteries if we don't ever read the seal book and the Daniel 7 weeks book and so forth? You know, me and Gabby kind of keep going revolving on those books. The Daniel 7 weeks, we read that all the way through together, and then we go to the seven seals, and we go to the church age book, and then we start back over again. And just all these series, we keep them going because what we're doing is kind of like plowing our field. You know, we're making things ready, making ourselves prepared for the Lord to reveal it to us. And that's what I believe in. Don't set the seal book down because you don't understand the seals. Just stay in it, you know, and constantly keep reading, and the Lord will help you understand. We're like a woman claiming to be expecting a child. I made that point last time. Yet never knowing a man, we, the bride, should not expect a new birth, a birth of the Word, if we don't consecrate our lives to God and spend time with the Word, the man. We must study the Word of God. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved in God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then, just going to read the yellow here. This is about the parable of the sower of the seed. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. How will you prepare your ground to receive the word of God? Humble yourself by sacrificing the care of this world, your own ideas, traditions, etc. Have an ear to hear. That's a meek, humble spirit, ready to listen and willing to admit when you're wrong. Now, let's see. And then Brother Branham, on the way back, he said, now, we don't have to be smart. We don't have to be educated. We have to believe. We have to humble ourselves and empty ourselves for God to manifest himself through us. Empty up yourself. Get yourself out of the way. The biggest enemy you have is yourself. Now, you believe God. Can you do it? Now, this is one of those quotes from one of our ministers here again. So, name that preacher. I think this is going to be pretty obvious. When the word comes, then you should say, Lord, is that in me? Because it hides. Y'all remember me talking about that last time? When you believe something you don't even realize you believe until a minister stands up and exposes that in you, and then you start to say, well, I didn't even realize I believed that.
Yes, sir.
And it's because it hides. But is that in me? Yeah, that's in you. A preacher will tell you that. Yeah, that's in you. He'll preach a sermon and you'll go, man, I need to, what? Move over a little bit. Hey, I need to stand here and let that thing go away. But here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes the white horse rider. That's why your new birth is the most important thing. Without the new birth, guess what? You'll think you're right. Now, if you don't have the new birth, you're automatically inclined to think you're right. It's that pride and self-righteousness and things. You'll think you're right. Satan thinks he's right. He'll make you think you're right. That's why that the seals has to tie in with the stature of perfect man. That's not the virtue of a man, of a human. That's the virtue of God. That's not the knowledge of a human. That's the knowledge of God. Amen. That's what's got to be born in you. Anybody have a guess who said that of our ministers?
Brother Wade.
Brother Wade. On the first seal, part 2, January 7th. This one's real obvious because he says his name right in the middle of the quote, so I couldn't hide this one. So make your calling and make your election sure. Well, how can I do that, Brother Dale? It's just pray to God and think about Him and listen, study the Word, think on God. So that was Brother Dale on Called and Chosen. He was talking about making your calling and election sure here a while back. Middle of last month. So I see in that, it's just pray to God, so stay in communion, prayer. Think about Him, there's meditation. Listen to sermons. And listen here, study the Word, read your Bible, think on God. You know, we don't put enough emphasis, I think, on meditation. Meditation is really powerful, just sitting still and just thinking about God. And why put a time limit on that? You know, we shouldn't say, well, I'll just give God 10 minutes a day of meditation. That's not a whole lot. We don't get very far. Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Branham said, therefore God reveals not to the world, not to the psychologists, not to the educated ministers, but to the humble in heart, His people who is meek. He will reveal these secrets of the great things of God to them. You see it? Let's see. Alright, here comes another one of these name that preachers. So that's the danger zone right there. You can already kind of guess who that might be saying that. That's the danger zone right there. When you come to church and you feel like you've done your religion for the week, and you've gone through all the exercises, and you've gone home and you say, well, I'm just as good as the other one there. Well, there's someone else there that's dying to themselves and soaking up the Word. And they're going home and they're studying. When they sit in church, they don't complain about how long the minister's preaching. They're eating it up. And that's the difference between a carnal and a spiritual. And that's how close it is in this day. It's going to be so close where Judas is putting his arm around the Word and saying, I believe the same thing you do. I'm casting out devils. I'm doing all this kind of stuff. And he's sitting right there amongst the people. Who do you think said that? That was a guess. No. Brother Bob. I think. Yeah, Brother Bob. Y'all aren't really supposed to be able to guess this. I just think eventually, you know, it might be a little bit funnier. You might catch a little phrase in there that only belongs to one minister. Like if I put up something that says sugar tip, you will know it's Brother Dale. Or some kind of little wackadoo. That's one of those weird Bob words. Food for thought. This is me, okay? All the greatest things we can achieve in this life require humility, perseverance, and discipline. So like anything you try to achieve, learning an instrument, learn a certain career, or anything that's, you know, really worth having, you have to put yourself into it. So why would we expect to give any less than these to God in order to attain to the greatest blessing for Him? My Brother Dale always says, you can't make it so easy that people fall into it. It's not something you're just going to stumble into full redemption. Nor is it so hard we can't attain to it, but there's a way made. We just have to do our part. And you know, saints, this is another minister here. And you know, saints, what we need to do is we just need to give in to what He's doing. Don't reason it. Don't think about it your own way. Think about it God's way. Look at it through God's eyes. Look at it through His Word. And I believe He'll finish that Word in you. Amen. And He'll finish that. He'll perfect that Word in you. Amen. Praise God. Sounds like Brother Louise. Yep. Brother Louise, January 24th. Alright. Now, these are what I call displays of humility. We see them in the Bible. We see them in the message. We saw them, Brother Branham. We see them here. We see them all around us. These are pictures of, or examples of humility. That's what I'm talking about. Third, we see Jesus, Brother Branham said, we find out that the Bible wrote in such common language, he must have used the grammar that was used on the street. Talking about Jesus. Just a common people, because the Bible said the common people heard him gladly. See, so maybe the intellectuals could not associate themselves in such a common person that spoke with drawls. I'll get into that word here in a minute. And so forth, that perhaps he did. So it was a little too much for them. It is yet today. God humbles himself. God is humility. The man that can humble himself is on his road up. He that exalts himself is on the road down, always. That's Christianity. Humble yourself. And if that life can reflect in us, people will see Christ in you, you see, when they can see that. So a drawl, I showed you that word here in the quote a minute ago, a drawl means speak in a low, lazy way with prolonged vowel sounds. We call that redneck or southern or whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, there wasn't anybody speaking redneck or southern in Jerusalem or wherever, you know, Jesus was. There was nobody would have been speaking like that. But what he's talking about, anywhere you go that I know of in the world, there's always the high polished people who pronounce their words right and use big words. And then there's the less educated people who use the drawl and, you know, speak the language of the common people. And I don't know, but I would guess that Jesus would have learned to speak the way that Joseph and Mary raised him up as. You know, they weren't real high educated, so he probably would have had some of these slangs or street slang or whatever you call it, or drawls in such a way to where the high polished priests and things wouldn't even want to hear him. But, and you know, we always think about the pretty Jesus in the movies where he's got this got pearly white teeth, he's all decked out all nice and pretty, and then he's got this real, you know, like an English accent in some movies, or a British accent or something, and pronounces words all right. And we think, really, would he have been that way? I don't know. I mean, I would have kind of think that he would speak more, a little bit humbler than that, and more like the common people, so that the people he was sent to would receive him. So you think about Brother Branham standing up and seeing visions and the healing lines and so forth, and so much God was using him to where he didn't even know what he was saying.
Right.
Did you ever notice on any of those tapes from Brother Brown praying for somebody or seeing a vision, telling what's in the vision, all of a sudden he puts on a British accent and talks real polished and pronounces words right? You see what I'm saying? So God comes down and uses a humble man and uses his dialect, his tongue, his way of speech, mm-hmm. and that's hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent. People would say, well, that can't be God. He wouldn't talk like that. That was kind of my first thought when I heard Brother Brennan pray for somebody and said, you know, that God was using that man like that. And I thought, how would he be speaking that way and being God? But that's how God can humble himself. That is the ultimate humility. That Jesus Christ came down in the flesh and did all the things that he did here and used the drawl, the common speech. And that's where that scripture was at. Brother Brennan was quoting that from. The common people heard him gladly. Mark 12:41, there's a lot of these in the book of Mark, these displays of humility. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he beheld how the people cast money in the treasury. I'll just summarize this. This is where the woman cast in the two mites, right? Humility. That's all she had. She gave all of her living. Humility. She didn't hold back anything from the Lord. The two men went up into the temple, Luke 18:10, to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus for themselves. Said, God, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are, extortioners, just unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Now that's not humility at all. That's the apex of pride. He's bragging about what he's done. And then the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke 18:15, and they brought unto him also infants. Let's just read the yellow. Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as this little child shall in no wise enter heaven. You know, a child believes what you tell them, and they're also... they're very meek, very humble, and so forth. And we have to be like children, and they just believe. Luke 18, skipping down the yellow again. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet, this is the rich young ruler, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come follow me. He was asking him to make the humbler choice, and the rich young ruler wouldn't do it. The sixth seal, all this is about is Brother Neville, okay? Wasn't he the pastor of the Brown Tabernacle? Mm-hmm. Right? He was the pastor of the Brown Tabernacle. And Brother Brown talks about him here, even when he first come in, this is Brother Neville he's talking about, he didn't understand the message then, but he believed it and stayed right with it. That's honor, that's respect to a brother like that. I can't say enough for him. And now the Lord bless him. So just talking about my example a while ago about how some people won't listen for 5 minutes or 5 months hardly, but someone like Brother Neville would just sit there and just listen until he understood. That's humility. Do you suppose God selected such a man, Brother Neville, for that special purpose? Because he knew Brother Neville would reverence the office of God's prophet. And then the fifth seal. This is really profound, okay? Brother Branham speaking. He actually told this story a couple years prior to this. I don't know when this actually happened. I think it was in 1961. He was laying there one morning in his bed next to the median. She was still asleep, and he propped himself up on the head of the bed. And he said, and I thought, boy, you are already 53. If you're going to do anything